Jude, chapter number 1. Book of Jude, chapter number 1. I had my notes out from Sunday school and I was going to go there. I was wondering why it was looking familiar there. But anyway, a couple weeks ago I came to you with a message that God has really been working in my heart for the last 10 years of my life. And just kind of rehearsed some things that took place a couple weeks ago because we did have last week off. And God began to work in my heart to really show me areas in my life where I have not demonstrated compassion, or where I have not had compassion for folks that needed to have compassion on in that point in time in their life. So I began to reveal many different things, how God has worked in my life in certain areas. And I tell you what, when you think you know it all, God shows you something else. He really begins to do a work. And so I begin to be thankful of the work that God has done in my life for the last 10 years, and really to show me, hey, Chad, you need to be compassionate towards people. You need to really know what it means to meet the needs of the people. I will share you this, what my father said the Saturday night before he went into surgery, and he said some things to me. He said a couple words that were very important to me, and I began to understand them later on. He said, Chad, be sensitive to the people. And with him saying that, that's really saying, hey, be compassionate. Be loving. Can we fix that ring? Be caring for the folks of this church, because we're going to come across some times where you're going to need to be sensitive. And I'm thinking to myself, my dad knows me a little bit, and he knows how insensitive I can be at times. And I begin to chuckle at that thing, but little did he know that God was using that as a form, again, for me to work on my life and how important it is for me to bestow compassion upon others. Because let's face it, folks need to have to be compassionate towards other people. And I took us to a place in the book of Jude, chapter number 22 is what I was going to say. If you find Jude chapter number 22, I'm going to walk out these doors, because that's not going to take place. But in Jude chapter 1, verse number 22 has really become my life's verse, because it means so much to me in my life, and God has used this in ways to really begin to mold me into what he wants in my life. And I'm going to back up in verse number 20. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want you to notice in this verse 22 what is really being said here. It says, and of some. It doesn't say, folks, I got to point this out, and I know we hear this a lot, but it doesn't say everyone. It doesn't say we all possess it. It doesn't say that at all. It says, and of some, says what? Have compassion. Making a difference. You know, your compassion that you bestow on somebody in their life is going to make a difference in their life. It might not happen at that point in time, but I can guarantee you later on down the road, it will make a difference in that individual's life. I say that for a reason, because I had the privilege of growing up in this church. I had the privilege of having many Sunday school teachers as I was growing up. And there's one particular lady that really sticks out to me. And I'm going to give you her name, because she's been a very dear lady to me in my life. She's no longer with us. She's with the Lord. But she has taught me a lot in my life. I wish I could remember everything that she has taught me. But the one thing that she taught me was compassion. And this is a woman who didn't have everything. This was a woman who really put herself in poverty. This was a woman who put others above herself, and she was the last person to ever be thought about. And that was Mrs. Hager. I don't know if you folks are familiar with her, or if you even know her, because she's been gone for quite some time. But that woman was one of the most compassionate women I've ever known, who really showed her love, who really demonstrated her love towards those kids, those young kids, those young minds that she had at that point in time. Because we were like sponges. When you're young, your mind is like a sponge. You want to soak up everything. And she began to show us compassion. She would begin to show us and demonstrate us how important God's love is in our life. She began to demonstrate and show us how important it was for us to accept God in our life. And I tell you what, as I look back right now in my life, her compassion that she bestowed upon me has made a difference. So much so, I'm thankful that God put her in my life. And I can go around and I can sit there and say that about a lot of folks in this room. And I don't want to leave anybody out because I don't want to offend anybody. But she's no longer with us, and I can do that with her, and I appreciate the love that she had for me. But I will say this, not all are compassionate. Not every single one of us has the compassion that we need to have in our life towards others. Because it says here, again, in verse number 22, it says, and of some. That is saying not everybody has this. Not everybody shows this. Not everybody demonstrates this. But it says, and of some having compassion make a difference. I tell you what this morning, folks, if you are a true child of God, and I say true child of God because there are a lot of folks that say they believe in God, but they don't really know who God is. I'm talking about an individual who has recognized that they were sinners. Their sin was taken to an everlasting hell. They called upon God. They repented of their sins. They walked away from their sins. And they accepted Christ. They put their faith, they put their trust and belief in Him. That makes you a true child of God. And if you're that child, folks, I must say this. You must, you should, and you should be willing to have compassion upon others. Because that's what Christ's life was all about while He was here on this earth. He showed and demonstrated and revealed to us in many different ways for you and I to show compassion towards others. Now, the interesting thing about this verse is this whole entire chapter is written by Jude. And if you're familiar with Jude, Jude is the brother of James. James is the brother of Jesus. So this is Jesus's half-brother. And so maybe there was something that was taken in the life of Jude at this point in time where he realized that he did not have the compassion that he needed. Well, think about this. Think about growing up in a house with a perfect man. Think about those things. I mean, come on, they're always being compared to Jesus. And so there must have been some struggles in the life of James, because we read some things, and there must have been some struggles in the life of Jude. And I think maybe Jude was struggling with something in his life. Maybe he didn't have the compassion that he needed at some point in time. And so he stresses the importance for us to show compassion. Why do we need to show compassion? Because you and I should make a difference in the life of people that God has surrounded us with. God has placed us with people who are lost, they're dying, and they're going to hell. And if we don't show compassion towards them and make a difference in their life, then what good are we doing with the salvation that we have? God has bestowed upon us a gift that you and I should show compassion and give that gift to the world for what? To make a difference in their life. Now, it's up to them to accept it or to reject it. You can't force somebody to accept it. You can't force someone to reject it, but that's their decision. But I can guarantee you this, if you demonstrate and you show them love and you show them how much you care about them, you're going to make a difference in their life. And that's what you and I should desire to do. But not everybody is compassionate towards others. Not everybody has compassion. Some people are just plain, cold-hearted individuals. That's who they are. That's how they are. Look at what we just went through in Samuel. What did we read about Saul? You can sit there and say that Saul was a cold-hearted individual, cared only about himself. We just read that. We rehearsed those things about a few minutes ago. And so he's a cold-hearted person. He didn't show compassion towards the people that he was leading. He didn't care about them. He didn't want to make a difference in his life, in their life. All he cared about was himself. And those individuals, and I will say this, they're cold-hearted individuals, and they need to learn a lesson. And that lesson is to have compassion, making a difference in the life of young people. You know, I was amazed. I sat underneath a teaching of Nate Hanneman Wednesday night, and I began to hear and begin to feel the heartbeat and the love that he has for the teenagers in this church. And that meant so much to me, the desire that he has to give them the Word of God so that they can make a difference in somebody's life. Why is he doing those things? Why does he care about those kids when they don't care about him at times? Why? Because he has compassion. He loves them and he wants to make a difference in their life. And he's going to make a difference in their life. You might always not see it right up front, Nate, but I guarantee it, you'll see it later on in your life. You'll see that those things. but not everybody has compassion. We look and we're going to rehearse some things that Jesus has gone through and went out of his way so that others would benefit from his compassion. Again, that was his life. That was his lifestyle. Why do you think he left heaven to come to this earth? Because he had compassion for you folks, for me. Why do you think he gave up all of his glory? Everything that he had up in heaven, why do you think he left those things? Because of his compassion, wanting to make a difference in your life. An everlasting difference, something that would change you for eternity. I'm going to go to the book of John, chapter number 4. And we're going to read some places and some individuals where Jesus, his compassion, benefited others in their walk and in their life with him. And the first thing we're going to see the woman at the well, a woman who wasn't very desirous to be around. But Jesus had compassion on his heart and wanted to go to her. It says, verse number 1, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. Look what verse number 4 says. And it says, and he must needs go through Samaria. He had a desire in his heart to go to Samaria for what? For a woman who wasn't living a righteous lifestyle. For a woman that was having affairs with men left and right. For a woman that was lost and dying to go into hell. Jesus went out of his way, demonstrated compassion towards a woman that everybody tried to stay away from. But he put himself in a position to give this woman the gospel. It says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. I'm going to jump down to verse number 6. It says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jump down to verse number 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, think about this. The perfect foreknowledge of Jesus Christ. The first meeting between this woman and Jesus, look what he says. Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that says thou truly. Think about what took place. Jesus really went out of his way, put himself in a position that, you think about this, if another man or a regular man was in this position, could have fallen to this woman. But Jesus being perfect, knowing everything, he was able to go to this woman. He was able to demonstrate and show her compassion for what? So that he could make a difference in her life. So that she could have the ability to recognize that her sins were taking her to hell and that she can call upon an almighty God. That's what the compassion of Jesus Christ did for individuals. His compassion would allow others to benefit from him. And the woman at the well, the woman who slept around with other men, greatly benefited from Jesus at this time. And at this time, there would be others that would have turned their backs on her for her lifestyle. But Jesus saw a need. He saw a need to go to Samaria to demonstrate, to show love towards the lost. Folks, that should be you and that should be me. If Christ was willing to do these types of things, that should be us as well. But others would turn their backs on this because of her lifestyle. He had a desire for others to know who his father was. He was about his father's business. The disciples, in verse number 27, it says, and when his And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? They marveled at her because they knew of her lifestyle. And they marveled at her because she wasn't a desirous woman to be talking to. But go back to Jude chapter 1, verse number 22. What's it say? And of some. Do you fall in that category this morning? Are you that of some? Having compassion, making a difference in the life of individuals. Folks, if that's not you this morning, let me be an encouragement to you. Get on the train, amen? Get on the train. Be a compassionate person. Be someone who wants to make a difference in the life of individuals. The next thing I want to look at, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter number 14, if you would please. The book of Matthew chapter number 14. Book of Matthew chapter number 14, we're to see some things take place here. Verse number 14, we see not only was he moved with compassion to bring the lost to Christ, and we're going to rehearse this even more as we get along further with this, but now we see here in the book of Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 14, it says, let me get there, it says here, and in them is filled, well, I'm in the wrong spot, and I wrote the wrong thing down. You know, that happens to me quite a bit, folks. And as I'm trying to talk, I'm going to try to figure out where I'm supposed to be. John chapter 4, verse 14, I believe. Go back there. What's that? Am I in the wrong verse? Folks, what happened? I took a drink of water back there and it splattered in my face and I can't see. I was in the wrong chapter totally to begin with. That is funny. And all God's people said, amen, we're praying for you, Chad. All right. Verse number 13, let's read this. It says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by a ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And look what this verse says. It says, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. So not only did Jesus have the compassion for others to come to their saving knowledge of him, but he also had a compassion for the sick. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God shows compassion on the ones who are unhealthy. He shows that type of compassion. He was moved. He had a heart for the unhealthy of this world. You know, I've had the great privilege the last 4 weeks to see these nurses and these doctors that have the compassion when they have these patients wanting to get them better, to get back on their feet. They don't do this because they're made to do this. They do this because they have a different ability than we do, and sometimes it's because they have that compassion. They have a desire about their job to make people better. And so Jesus here, he was moved with compassion towards the sick. And what would he do for the sick? He would heal them. Again, as we see the benefits of the woman at the well that benefited greatly from Jesus with his compassion, now we see the unhealthy, the sick, would benefit from them as well. He saw their physical need. Think about this. Jesus can look at you and see that you need something physically. Now, that's obvious at times. We can sit there and look at individuals who are sick and see that they need something. But there are some times where we can't recognize those things, but God can. He can recognize when somebody is sick. And so he would see their sickness, and he would go out of his way again, and he was moved with compassion. And what would he do? He would heal them. Thank God for his compassion. And he doesn't stop there. Again, go back to number 4, verse number 46. I'm in the right place, don't worry. I am in the right place. I was in the right place before. You folks weren't. But even back in chapter 4, verse number 46 of John, he's demonstrating some more. It says, so Jesus came again unto Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, this story here fascinates me. I'm captivated by this story because of what takes place later on in this chapter. It says, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of the death. Now, the amazing thing about this is that this nobleman recognized who Jesus was, and he wanted to go find Jesus because he knew what Jesus was capable of. He knew that Jesus could heal his son, and he went and he wanted to fetch Jesus to bring him back home so that his son, would be restored whole once again. So it goes on in verse number 48. It says, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Can you hear the heart of this man? He did not want to lose his child, and he knew and he recognized his only way out was for him to call upon Jesus. And he sought Jesus, and he went after him. In verse number 46, it says, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. He begins to, really in a sense, begins to cry and begins to beg Jesus, Jesus, come to my home. My son, he needs to live. I need my son. Would you please come and do what you need to do to make him whole again? Look what Jesus does. Jesus, in verse number 50, says, Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Whew! Think about that. Do you realize what just took place here? Okay, if you don't realize what took place, let me read this. It says, go thy way, thy son liveth, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him, and he went his way. He didn't question Jesus. He believed Jesus. He goes back to his son. In verse number 51, it says, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of him the hour and began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour which Jesus saith unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Woo! Did you not see what God just did? He told him to go his way, thy son liveth. He had compassion upon this man's son. And because of the faith that this man demonstrated in Christ, Jesus didn't even have to walk through the house to heal him. He says, go thy way. Go thy way. Thy son liveth. Can you imagine if we were at the hospital today and a doctor said that to us? We would be, what? Are you crazy? Are you foolish? Go thy way. Thy son liveth. You're calling my son the best drugs that you can give him. I'm not. See, why I say that for a reason? Because we have doubt. We doubt. We doubt God. We doubt God's capability. We doubt God's power. We doubt those things. But this man, he believed God. He believed Jesus. When he spoke the words, he walked away. Why did this take place? Because it goes back to verse number 14 of chapter 14 of Matthew. He was moved with. He had a desire to heal the sick. And he healed this man's son by not even going to his house. Doesn't he have to be in the same room? Why do you think that we can call upon God in prayer right now? Why do you sit there and think that we can call upon God to heal our pastor, to heal everything that we can think of, and he does it right from the throne of God? Why? Because he has compassion, amen? What's he demonstrating? He's wanting to make a difference. And he's making a difference, amen? Doesn't have to be in the same room. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 9. I love this verse. I love this story. This story's fun. It's unique. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't stop with the sick of the world at this point in time. He doesn't stop with this man's son healing him. But now we go to the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse number 22. It says, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, let me back up. I'm going to verse number 18. It says, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, a meaning that she had a certain blood disease for 12 years that no one can cure, that no one could give her the help that she needed to give so that her life could continue. She was sick, she was ill, and her life was about to be done here on earth. So it says in verse number 20, was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Think about that. He's in a crowd of people. He's on his way to heal somebody who is dead. He's in a crowd, and a woman had a blood disease, and she touched the hem, and whoa! She's whole. She's been cleansed because of her faith in God. Why did God do that? Why did Jesus do that? Because he wanted to make a difference. in her life. He wanted to move with compassion on his life to make a difference. That's what Jesus does. He makes a difference in our life by being compassionate to us. That should mean something to us, folks. All this woman had to do was just talk about this. Just touch. She was made whole. She didn't touch him. It's just a garment. Wow. That astounds me. The garment. Why did this take place? Compassion, folks. Compassion. And of some, having compassion, making a difference. He would even go on in the book of Matthew chapter 8. Let's read this, verse number 16 through 17. If you're alive and awake this morning, please say amen. Amen. Chapter 8, verse 16 through 17, it says, When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and look what takes place, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. He would even take the time to cast out the devils, and at the same time, turn around and begin to heal the sick. Why? He's compassionate and he wants to make a difference in your life. How many times, folks, let's rehearse this. How many times has God made a difference in your life? Countless. Countless times. He's made a difference in your life. Why? Because he's a compassionate God who loves you, who desires to have a relationship with you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 6. The book of Mark, chapter 6. Again, this sermon has been 10 years in the making, but it will not take me 10 years to preach. The other thing they had compassion for was teaching the uneducated. The book of Mark, chapter 6, verse number 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. Not only was he moved to heal the sick, not only was he moved to do a miraculous work in the life of the woman at the well, but he was also moved with compassion to teach the ones without a shepherd. He was moved to teach them. And it says at the end of this verse, it says, and he began to teach them many things. I sat there and I began to think in my mind, what was Jesus teaching them? You know what popped up? Compassion. Be compassionate. I believe he was teaching them those things. But he also saw their physical need. It says that, verse number 32, 34, where am I at here? Anyway, I got ahead of myself. But he saw their physical need. He would meet the needs and provide them food. But he also saw their spiritual need. And he would begin to teach and educate them through him. Think about that, folks. We have right now the privilege and the ability to open up God's word and see what God has for us. But think about how lucky these folks to be under the direct teaching of Jesus Christ. To be able to see firsthand the compassion that he has for them. He saw their physical need. He met their physical need. He saw their spiritual need. He met their spiritual need. But notice what took place in same chapter, verse 35 and 36. It says, and when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Look what they say. Verse 36, send them away. Send them away, Jesus, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Send them away, Lord. We don't have time for this. Send them away, Lord. We are not compassionate like you are. Well, that's what the disciples were saying at this point in time. Think about this great privilege that the disciples had at their time in their life to be able to gain and learn from Jesus Christ, to be able to tap into the knowledge that he has, the wisdom that he has while he was here with them. And they miss this most important thing, with having compassion. They could care less about the physical needs of the people. They could have cared less at this point in time about the spiritual need of the people, because they said, this is a desert place, send them on their way so we don't have to worry about them. But Jesus, because of his compassion, said, know what? We're going to feed them. We're going to take care of their needs. The disciples had a great lesson to learn here, and it went right over their heads. Jesus was trying to teach them they needed to be compassionate towards others. Being compassionate, write this down because this is important for us to understand. Being compassionate puts you in a place of serving others. That's what Jesus was doing his whole entire life. Because of his compassion, he was serving this group, this group, this group, and so forth, because he loved them. Last thing I want to look at, go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. I'll go through this real quickly. I know it's getting late, and I know we're all tired. But 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But look what happens. It says, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Christ's compassion that he had for others caused him to walk up Calvary's road so that he could die for you. That's what his compassion did for us. His compassion resulted in his death upon a cruel cross. It says in the Bible, cursed is a man that hangeth upon the cross. Jesus Christ, because of his compassion, became a curse for you and for I, so that we can have a way for eternal life. His goal for his compassion was for none to perish. It says this here in this verse, not willing that any should perish. Christ doesn't want anybody to perish. Christ doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but he wants them all to come to heaven and to come to repentance. His compassion has caused him to be long-suffering for us. Oh, think about that. He has suffered long for you and for me when others would have given up on us. That's why we need to be long-suffering towards others. In the book of Mark chapter 15, go ahead and turn your Bibles there. The book of Mark chapter 15. And verse number 17, it says, and they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews. His compassion caused him to have the crown of thorns go upon his head. And folks, it just wasn't placed up there very nicely. Oh, here's a crown of thorns. Here you go. No, it was like this. There you go. Those thorns begin to drive into the skull of Jesus. Blood began to spurt out because he had compassion for you and for me. He took that for us. He was beaten beyond recognition. I know we've seen news articles on the news from time to time where men you can't even recognize because of the beating that they took upon their life. I can guarantee you Christ was worse than that. He was beaten beyond recognition. He was mocked, he was ridiculed, he was tortured, and was crucified for you and for me. Why? Because of his compassion. He was moved with compassion for the lost, for the sinners of this world. Why? So that we all can come to repentance, to believe in him, and to dwell with him for eternity. And his compassion after the death, his compassion moved him to rise once again. The grave could not keep him, and now he is alive and alive forevermore. His compassion, Jude 22, and of some having compassion, making a difference. The compassion that Christ had for you and for me will definitely make a difference in your life. My question to you this morning is, have you accepted him? See, he doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody to go to heaven. But unfortunately, that's not going to take place because folks still reject. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for your word. Lord God, thank you for being so compassionate to folks for at times don't even seem to care about you. Don't even have a desire to read your word. Don't even have a desire to have a relationship with you through prayer. Don't even have a desire to walk with you. Don't even have a desire to be committed to you. But Lord, you're moved with compassion upon us. I can't understand why. I can't begin to even fathom. But Lord, I know you did it because you love us. Lord God, please forgive me of the errors in my life where I have been cold-hearted and non-compassionate towards people and not even considering about being a difference in somebody's life. I'm guilty of that this morning, and I ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for forgiving when we ask. We love you this morning because, again, you first loved us. In your name, amen.